Hello, this is Binyamin Samuels of Congregation Shaarei Tefillah, Newton Center, Massachusetts. I will be sharing Chomer LeDrush on Parshas Toldos, and I hope and pray it will be a benefit to our Chaverim. I would like to address Parshas Toldos in the context of Shabbat Chinuch with a discussion of the training up, rearing, nurturing, cultivating, educating of our children. I would like to begin with a disclaimer. And that is concerning the assessment of the morality of our patriarchs and matriarchs, our avos and imaos. In Chazal, we found at least two mesoros of how to assess the morality of our patriarchs. One approach, rooted in Shas, Rishonim, and certainly the Musar movement, sees the avos and imaos as paragons of virtue, beyond reproof and beyond critique. They are our heroes, which we admire. Another approach, similarly rooted in Shas, Rishonim, and Achronim, is that the patriarchs and matriarchs were human beings with flaws and failures, and in their struggle with them, they find their greatness as they withstand trial and tribulation. They are role models to us to which we aspire to emulate. For those who are interested in this topic, I recommend that you look at Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch and his commentary on the Chumash in Sefer Bereishis, Perek Yud Bet, Psukim Yud through Yud Gimel, Dibur Hamaschil, There Was a Famine in the Land in the English translation, and also to see a wonderful article by our Chaver, Professor Rabbi David Berger, called On the Morality of the Patriarchs in Jewish Polemic and Exegesis, which can be found in Understanding Scripture, Explorations of Jewish and Christian Traditions of Interpretation, edited by C. Thoma, T-H-O-M-A, and Michael Wyschogrod, W-Y-S-C-H-O-G-R-O-D. Let's begin our discussion of Chinuch with a discussion of self-betterment and advancement. Chazal associate a particular midah with each of our avos in order to best characterize who they were and for what they stood. Abraham, for example, is identified with chesed, compassion and love, Yitzchak with gvura, strength, and Yaakov with emes. Yet when we look to the Torah text for confirmation of these character assessments, we find that they seem to be a bit off the mark. Abraham, at times, exhibits great chesed, though usually towards strangers, for example, the people of Sodom, and the three malachim who visit him at the beginning of Parshas Vayera. He seemingly doesn't extend enough chesed toward the members of his immediate family. We see this in the way he treats Sarah during their famine wanderings. Also see the Ramban on this. And also by not challenging Hashem on Yitzchak's behalf before the Akedah as he did for Sodom. Likewise, the Torah seems to portray Yitzchak as a passive and weak person rather than as a man of great strength. And as for Yaakov, he is far from the embodiment of truth. A great part of his life is marked by acts and consequences of duplicity. Perhaps Chazal are trying to teach us that those attributes which we should hold most dear and by which we aspire to identify ourselves are not those which come naturally to us, but precisely those with which we struggle and over which we ultimately triumph. As a variation on this theme, I direct you to the pasuk in Micha, Perek Zayin, pasuk Kaf, Titein Emes Liakov Chesed LaAvram, Asher Nishpata LaVosenu MiMekedem. The pasuk says, Titein Emes Liakov, give truth to Yaakov. Chesed LaAvram, give Chesed to Avraham. These two halves are fascinating. Yaakov is a person who indeed needs truth, because we know that he has to access guile, mirma, in order to achieve what he has to do. Hakol kol Yaakov, but sometimes he has to act like Esav. And we say titein emes li Yaakov, because when emes is given to Yaakov, he becomes Yisrael. Yaakov needs emes. He's deficient in emes. And he gets emes, and he becomes Yisrael. But what about Avraham? Avram is Isha Chesed. Avram has Chesed. So why does the Pasuk say, Titein Chesed le'Avraham? So here this Pasuk Our Nabi Micha teaches us a tremendous lesson. When we try to advance ourselves, when we try to better who we are, to cultivate our virtue, we certainly have to work on that which we're not good at, that which we're flawed, that which we're deficient. Titein emes li'akov, we have to fill in those gaps and make ourselves whole. But also, titein chesed la'avram, we shouldn't be self-satisfied to be content with that which we're good at, but we have to bring what we're good at to higher heights, to cultivate our virtue past the levels which we're happy with. Titein chesed la'avraham, asher nishbata la'avosenu mimei kedem. Let's also talk about chinuch in the context of parenting, an issue which our parsha certainly addresses. I'd like to share with you a drasha I once delivered called The Best Blessing of All. And although it speaks to parents and children in general, it in particular speaks to teens at risk. Why was Yitzchak blind to the wickedness of Esav? One would think that Yitzchak HaTzadik, Yitzchak Avinu, would clearly see the difference between the pleasant ways of Yaakov, Ish Tam Yoshevo Alim, the civilized scholar, and Esav, the Ish Sadeh, the skillful hunter, a man of the wild. When Avraham and Sarah perceived Yishmael, Yitzchak's brother, to be a negative influence on Yitzchak, Avraham sent Yishmael away. Yet Yitzchak, as a father, not only tolerates Esav's presence in the house, but desires to confer upon Esav his innermost blessing. To bless Esav? Esav, about whom our rabbis teach us in the Midrash, was a murderer, an adulterer, and a blasphemer? How is it that Yitzchak was blind to the evil in his midst? Why did Yitzchak love Esav to such a degree that he lost his moral judgment? Ve'ahav Yitzchak et Esav ki tzayed befiv. And Yitzchak favored Esav because game was in his mouth. On this verse, our rabbis offer us at least three possible reasons for Yitzchak's blindness to Esav's true nature. The first solution is bribery. Simply put, Esav bribed Yitzchak to look the other way. Ve'ahav Yitzchak et Esav ki tzayed befiv. Rashi interprets the verse literally. Yitzchak favored Esav because game was in his mouth, because Yitzchak had a taste for game. Yitzchak loved venison, and Esav provided it. Hashochad ya'avirch enei chachamim. The Torah tells us bribes blind the eyes of the discerning. Ralbag attributes a different kind of bribery to Esav. According to Ralbag, Esav bribed his father emotionally rather than materially. It is only natural, writes Ralbag, to love someone who caters to you. Esav's devotion to his father procured his father's love in return. And a second solution, the Midrash points to Esav's exemplary filial devotion to his father. Here, Yitzchak's blindness is due neither to emotional nor material bribery. It is due rather to Yitzchak's naivete and self-deception. Yitzchak loved Esav ki when tzayed befiv, game, was in his mouth. Yitzchak was endeared to Esav when the otherwise sinful son honored his father with food. Although Yitzchak was aware of Esav's evil ways, he believed that as long as Esav scrupulously observed the one commandment of kibud av v'em, then there was still hope that one day Esav would be righteous. According to this view, Yitzchak clouded his own vision by convincing himself that the situation was better than it appeared. The third solution posits that Yitzchak's blindness was not due to bribery nor self-deception, but rather Esav deceived Yitzchak by tricking him into believing that he was righteous. Chazal tell us in the Midrash that Yitzchak would go out to the field to pray in the evening. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basada lifnot arev. And Yitzchak went out lasuach, which can mean to walk, but is interpreted by Chazal as to pray. He went out lasuach in the field toward evening, the time for the mincha prayer. Esav presented himself also as an ish sadeh, as a man of the field. The Zohar tells us that Esav pretended to his father that he too isolated himself to meditate and pray to God in the field, while in reality he was engaged in iniquity. Ve'ahav Yitzchak et Esav ki tzayed befiv. Yitzchak favored Esav, the Tanchuma teaches, because tzayed befiv, entrapment, was in his mouth. Esav was Ish Yodea Tzayed, a cunning hunter. Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch explains that Yodea Tzayed, the hunter, must understand the art of deception. He must be able to appear innocent and harmless, and concomitantly maintain his murderous intent in his heart. Esav, says the Midrash, captured his father's love by trapping and deceiving him with his words. He would ask Yitzchak to teach him how one ties salt and straw, when Esav knew that salt and straw were exempt from Maaser. He misled Yitzchak into believing that he was scrupulous in observing the mitzvahs. Yitzchak was blinded by Esav's duplicity. These three reasons for Yitzchak's blindness, that Esav's bribery clouded Yitzchak's moral vision, that Yitzchak deceived himself by overemphasizing the merits of Esav, and that Esav deceived Yitzchak, represent three typologies, three possible typologies of a parent-child relationship, especially when we're dealing with a teen at risk. Parents can be bribed by their children, by a child's accomplishments, good grades, excellence in sports, prestigious social standing. All of these accomplishments can distort a parent's purview. The child ceases to be the highly complex, developing human being and becomes one-dimensional, a trophy, perhaps, to be shown off in his or her parents' showcase. Being proud of a child, communicating that pride, but not letting that pride obscure the perception of a child's developing personality, take into account the achiever and not just the achieved. Chazal teach us in Pirkei Avos that kol ahava shituya b'davar, all love which depends on something, batel davar, if the thing ceases, batel ahava, the love ceases. Bribery does not engender deep and everlasting love. Parents sometimes also deceive ourselves about the true nature of our children. My son is a good boy, he would never do such a thing, is a common response when a parent is confronted with his or her child's misdeeds. But even worse than denial can be the self-deception of optimism. Just as Yitzchak hoped that his sinful son Esav, who meticulously kept the mitzvah of honoring his parents, would soon keep all other mitzvot, so do many parents overemphasize the merits of their children and underplay when the children have problems. As parents, we must give full attention to both problems and positive attributes. This certainly is true when we deal with the teen at risk. The third typology of a parent-child relationship is where the child deceives his or her parents. We hope it doesn't happen, but sometimes it does. A child can misrepresent him or herself to his or her parents. There can be a lack of communication. Parents become blind. They become oblivious to their children and their children's lives. The best blessing that we as parents can give to our children is to know them, to know their problems, to know their nature, to know their achievements, to know their shortcomings, to take pride in that which is great and glorious, and to address ourselves to that which needs fixing and healing. A truthful, full-bodied parent-child relationship can bring to both parent and children the best blessing of all. Finally, on this Shabbat Chinuch, I would like to address myself to the educational environment. It's interesting because our parsha begins with Rivka being barren, of being mispaleles, of praying with her husband Hashem for children, and then of having a difficult pregnancy. The Midrash is replete with wonderful, edifying stories about Rivka's difficult pregnancy, about the two twins in her belly, one that would aspire for the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Ever, and one which would aspire for Batei Avodah Zarah. The question is, if a child in utero, as the Gemara Nida tells us, is learning Kol HaTorah Kula, why is it that Yaakov Avinu, when in the belly of Rivka, still rattled and kicked and moved about when they passed Yeshiva Shem Be'Ever. Yaakov desired Chavrusa. He needed a partner that Esav ultimately would fail to provide. He needed an educational environment that would nurture him. It's not just about having the right sefer or even the right teacher, but it's about peer groups. It's about educational environment. We see this fascinatingly in a beautiful netziv, also on this week's parsha. After Yitzchak Avinu has so many problems by carrying on the Mesorah, by digging the same wells as his father, by calling them the same names, ultimately he has to break new ground, and he does so, and he calls the place Beersheva. Well, we're told that at night Hashem came to him, and God said, Anochi Elokei Abraham Avicha, I am the Lord of Abraham your father, Al Tira, don't be afraid, Ki Itcha, for I am with you, Anochi, Uberachticha, and I will bless you. Veherbeti et zaracha, and I will make abundant your offspring. Ba'avur Abraham Avdi. Ba'avur, on behalf of Abraham Avdi. The Netziv, in commenting on the last part of this pasuk, says, V'chol ba'avur mashma'o l'tovaso. That any time the Torah says ba'avur, it would seem to be that it's saying for the good of. So how is it that the blessing which Hashem promises Yitzchak and his descendants is for the good of Abraham? Mazet tova la'Avram ba'olam ha'elyon ashiro zoro'o. So the Netziv answers, Ela hu bracha chadasha sheyigdal ezaro ha'oskim b'torah sheichut shelchein mashuch alea. He says that this is tied, that this brings goodness and honor and posterity to Abraham Avinu, when Yitzchak will ensure that he and his children will learn Torah and follow in the ways of Torah. Then Netziv continues in the next Dibur HaMatkel Ba'avur, Ki b'shah she'talmid chacham b'menucha hogim b'toras rabam. When someone is able to take a rest stop, like Yitzchak did at Beersheva, and is able to study the Torah of their teachers, v'yesh mizeh nachas lahem ba'olam ha'elyon. This provides some type of settling, some type of comfort in the world to come, in the eternal repose. Similarly, we all know, he says, the Mamar Chazal and the Pasuk, Dovev Sifse Yeshenim, Kol Talmid Chacham Shomrim Devar Shmua Mipiv Ba'olam Hazeh Sifsosav Dovos Bakever. One is able to teach from the next world, beyond the grave. The lips of our teachers even move while they are in the kever. Netziv then sends us to the Gemara in Baba Metzia, Daf Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. It's a beautiful Gemara. Reish Lakish was marking the burial vaults of the rabbis, but when he came to the grave of Rabbi Chia, he couldn't find it. Yalma mine. And he experienced a sense of humiliation. Chalash date. He was depressed. Amar ribonu shalolam lo pilpalti b'torah kamoso. Aren't I a Talmud Chacham? Did I also not debate the Torah as he? And a bas kol comes out and says, Torah kamoso pilpalta, Torah kamoso lo ribatsta. You learn Torah, you're sharp, you know how to learn, you know how to ask questions, but you didn't spread the Torah like Rabbi Chia. You're not on the same level. And the Gemara continues and tells us how Rabbi Chia spread the Torah. A beautiful agadata. We all know it well. Rabbi Chia says about himself, how did he make sure? How did he achieve that Torah shouldn't be forgotten in Israel? What did I do? I went and I sowed flax. I made nets from the flax cord, trapped deers whose flesh I gave to the orphans, and prepared scrolls from their skins, waste not, want not, upon which I wrote the five books of Moshe, the Chamishei Chumshei Torah. Then I went to a town which contained no teachers and taught the five books to five children, and the six orders of the Talmud to six children. and I bade them, until I return, teach each other the Chumash and the Mishnah. And thus I preserved the Torah from being forgotten in Israel. That is the greatness of Rabbi Chiya. That is the greatness of Harbatzah's Torah. It is important to teach methodology, to teach skills, to sharpen one's wit and clever readings. But ultimately, Harbatzah's Torah is about creating chavrusa, even as important as a morah derech, as a teacher, as a rebbe, is setting up the right chavrusa. That's what Rabbi Chiya did. He set up the right chavrusa. That's what Yaakov Avinu, when he was still in utero, even though he had access to the whole Torah, he desired proper chavrusa. He still pined for yeshiva shem be'ever. And it's because, ultimately, he went to Yeshiva Shem Be'Aver for 14 years that he's able to say back to Esav when they have their reunion, Im Lavan Garti B'Taryag Mitzvot Shamarti Be'Echar Adota, and I delayed there till then. He didn't choose the way of isolation. He was able to choose the way of integration, to be part of society, to meet the challenges of leaving and Beis Lavan, because he had the right chavrusa in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Ever, and he prepared himself for the Derech HaTorah. I'd like to conclude with a pasuk also from this week's parsha. Vayizra Yitzchak ve'eretz hahi vayimsa b'shana hahi mea sharim v'yibarcheu Hashem. Yitzchak sowed in that land, the land of Grar, where he had to escape during a time of famine, and he reaped 100-fold that same year. And Rashi tells us that although it was a year of famine, Hashem blessed Yitzchak, that every one of his efforts produced 100-fold. It is my sincere wish and desire that from these meager offerings to our chevra, I hope you take these seeds and reap 100-fold. I wish you a good week and a good Shabbos.